In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
We can't win them all. I am heartbroken at the result, and I know that you are also. But I know that we will get up together tomorrow and continue this fight, even with this result tonight.
Maybe there's a new breed of Republican coming in Washington. Maybe people will finally look at somebody who's not beholden to the special interests of the party and who will look to, you know, just to solve problems. Taxes and spending, terrorism and how we deal with those issues, the health care proposal, those are the more important things.
That's Martha Coakley and her opponent in the Massachusetts Senate race commenting on Scott Brown's victory yesterday. A big victory, they're saying. One that has its ramifications not only there in Massachusetts, but also in Washington and perhaps for the entire nation. We'll see what will be the results of that victory, Scott Brown's victory yesterday in Massachusetts. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon, the 20th of January. We'll spend the first segment talking to Melinda Bells of World Magazine about the Massachusetts Senate race, and then we'll discuss Sarah, the church remembers Sarah, wife to Abraham, mother of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary will be our guest. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us with questions or comments right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the Massachusetts Senate race, Emily Bells is a Washington reporter for World Magazine. She spent yesterday in Boston covering Scott Brown's victory in the U.S. Senate race. Emily, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks for having me.
When you talked to Scott Brown's supporters, what was it that drew them to Brown as a Senate candidate?
Well, very basically, I mean, he was perceived as the anti-establishment candidate. He was somebody who's going to go up and kind of show Washington what's what and bring Massachusetts issues, you know, in a way that was different than what is being delivered in on Capitol Hill right now. But also, he's just a likable, nice guy who asks people for their votes, which is something the Democrat didn't do.
Is it that is it that Martha Coakley did not run a sufficient race, or is it that at the last minute, I mean, the story, the narrative that's being put out is kind of the last minute, Brown surged and suddenly independents saw the light of day in his eyes?
Yeah, I think she ran a terrible campaign. Everyone would agree on that. Even Democrats would say that. She didn't. She took time off in December. She didn't run ads for a whole week. So there are a lot of mistakes that people can point to in her campaign. But you're right, there's also kind of a hunger for this independence to go to Capitol Hill and someone who will express that voter outrage that's there right now. And I think it's mainly based on the economy and issues to do with, you know, taxing and spending. And those are things that Scott Brown hit on really strongly.
Were Brown supporters talking much about health care reform and the effect they thought their vote might have there in Washington, D.C.?
Sure. They really are content, I think, with the health care situation they have in their own state. Massachusetts has passed its own health care reform, and they're paying for that with their tax dollars. It's pretty different from what you would see coming out of Washington right now, but voters there are really not interested in paying for a national health reform when they think that states should do that individually on their own.
What's the general reaction you think going to be in Washington, D.C. to yesterday's race and Scott Brown's win?
Well, Democrats are really scrambling and Republicans are gloating. So those are the two main sentiments right now. I think Democrats are trying to keep other freshman Democrats who've just been elected and who are more vulnerable, keep them from either panicking and getting out of politics or, just running bad campaigns. So they're trying to do some damage control. I think for President Obama's agenda, there are still a lot of questions in the air. You know, it's not just health care. It's the Employee Free Choice Act, what's been called card check and cap and trade, and things with Guantanamo Bay and taxes on banks. There's just myriad of issues that are going to be up in the air because they don't have the supermajority in the Senate anymore.
Since Scott Brown is pro-choice, was abortion even an issue in yesterday's race?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of pro-life groups were heavily involved in the race, and they're a strong Catholic demographic in Massachusetts. And while the pro-life groups supported Scott Brown, even though he is pro-choice, they said he's a better choice among the two just because he opposes federal funding for abortions and he opposes partial birth abortion. So, which are both things that the Democrat Martha Coakley supports. So they figured that, you know, he would at least be better. So they threw their weight behind him, and that might have helped him in the race. It's hard to tell.
Do you expect GOP pundits to begin making the case that what the Republican Party needs is more pro-choice candidates like Scott Brown?
I think there's a strong possibility you could see that. He cast himself as a big tent philosophy kind of guy. So, and he really attracted a lot of independent voters. And so if, you know, GOP strategists decide that this is going to be a blueprint for future campaigns, I think values issues could become, they could go to the wayside. So you might see more pro-choice candidates. That's true.
I'm wondering what you think about the calculus there, because we're now at a point, not a tipping point perhaps, but at a point where a bare majority of Americans consider themselves pro-life. Could that be a miscalculation on the part of the GOP?
Yeah, you're right. That's something they'll have to take into account. I suppose that what the GOP is seeing here is that the economy is the main thing that's driving voters. And so you go by those numbers, but you know, there are always these sub-narratives like pro-lifers becoming a majority of Americans, or Americans name themselves pro-life. So, you know, those sub-narratives can become important factors. Obviously, political strategists don't really know a lot about how the pulse of the American people is working if we look at what happened in Massachusetts, because no one predicted this outcome.
How active were traditional marriage forces in this race?
There were, two Massachusetts groups who were very involved. There are also a few other family groups. Catholic Families for America was active in campaigning for Brown, or at least educating voters about the two candidates and showing that Brown was more pro-family, pro-traditional values candidate. Brown himself kind of distanced himself from those campaigns. I think he was trying to still cast himself as a moderate and not tied to any of those groups, but they did work extensively on his behalf.
When President Obama visited a couple of days before the actual election, many were hoping that would turn it around finally for Marsha Coakley, and that the kind of sheer force of his personality and presence would make a big difference. What impact did it seem to have?
Well, obviously, it didn't help. But he very much continued the image that Martha Coakley already had, which was as the establishment candidate, you know, that she was going to fill the throne vacated by Ted Kennedy and go to Washington as the, you know, chosen successor. But voters really didn't want any of that, and they wanted somebody new and different. They wanted somebody who was going to shake things up a little bit. So President Obama coming just kind of reinforced the narrative that this is the establishment candidate.
Did you hear from any of Brown's supporters that they want to extend this kind of independent streak, even independent of the independence that many voters displayed when President Obama was elected, into the midterm elections?
Yeah, I think voters there are, well, at the party last night, you know, they were chanting, John Kerry is next, John Kerry is next. So you don't know where that surge of emotion's going to lead, but I think a lot of incumbents are really scared right now, because one of the strongest sentiments that was expressed in this vote was anti-incumbency. So people who are in office right now have a lot to worry about, Republican or Democrat, I guess you could say.
Emily Bells is Washington reporter for World Magazine. She spent yesterday in Boston covering Scott Brown's victory in the U.S. Senate race. You can read her stories at worldmag.com, worldmag.com. Emily, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, the church is remembering on this day, well, usually it's the men, isn't it? And occasionally you get one of these women in the Old Testament chronicles that emerge and are remembered by the church as an Old Testament saint. Today, one that is often forgotten, but certainly significant. Sarah, or Sarai, depending on which name you want to call her by, before or after God changes her name. She goes hand in hand with Abraham, although seldom mentioned. We'll talk about what the church ought to remember about this Old Testament saint, Sarah. Dr. David Adams will be our guest right after this.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Defending the faith. Teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. issuesetc.org.